listening to the Atlanta Life Radio station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio, with shows that cover topics to feed your mind, body, and soul. And now we present the Soul Inspiration Radio Show with your host, Christine Kia C, and tonight's special guest, Trent Turner. So let's get this conversation started. Join me in a virtual applause as we welcome Christine on air.
Hey, thank you. Welcome, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Christine Kiefsi, and this is Soul Inspirations. Hope everybody had a great week, that you were able to inspire someone out there, and that someone was able to inspire you as well. Tonight, I'm hoping to inspire you with my guest. His name is Trent Turner of Trent Turner and the Moon Towers. Trent is from Austin, Texas, and he is an amazing blues musician, singer, songwriter, and he's when he's not rocking Austin at night, he's actually a primary care physician during the day. So Trent is a very interesting person, extremely talented. So let's go right ahead and get Trent on the show with us today. So Trent, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. I'm doing well.
Hey, so how is everything? How is your week? I know it's been rainy down there in down in Austin.
It's been drizzling a little bit the last couple of days, but it's fine. It's nice.
Yeah.
We're just getting ready for the whole South by Southwest thing here, seems, or the city is anyway.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely. Now, are you going to be part of that, or
I've got a few shows next week, four or five shows here next week during it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Well, first I wanted to say you're actually new to me. I was down in Austin about a month ago with my daughter, and I was taking her to a concert and happened to pop into Darwin's Pub, where you play regularly every Saturday night, and I discovered you. Well, I didn't discover you, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And you are absolutely, I was blown away. My sister and I were there, and the place was packed, as I'm sure it is every Saturday night, and you just blew me away. And so tell me, first of all, okay, Trent Turner and the Moon Towers, what's a moon tower, and why do you call yourself that?
Yeah, the moon towers are these big, you probably have seen the movie Dazed and Confused, maybe?
Uh-huh.
At some point, there's an old line in there where I think they say, hey, there's a party at the moon tower, something like that. But anyway, they're referring to these big light-emitting structures in Austin that were around, I think there were I'm going to guess around 30 of them at one point. But they used to, before we had power, street lights everywhere, they just had these giant things called moon towers that provided all the light for the city of Austin around 1900 or the early part of the 20th century, late part of the 19th century. I don't remember exactly when, but it's been a long time. And and they still have about, I'm guessing 15 of them maybe around there, give or take a few, in town. And when I first started thinking about playing music in front of people and having a band, the first name, I remember I was sitting at this cafe and I just thought we should call ourselves Moon Towers. And it wasn't a bad idea, really. And then later it became Trent Turner and the Moon Towers. And since then, there's been a whole bunch of Moon Tower this and Moon Tower that in Austin. There's a place called Moon Tower Saloon that we play quite often. Mm-hmm. And they have the Moon Tower Comedy Festival that comes here. So I guess I was kind of onto a little something there. That's what a Moon Tower is.
Well, very
it kind of
cool.
just
okay.
says, this is a little thing from our hometown.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of Austin history there for sure. So I wanted to ask you then, so you and I have spoken, prior to the show, and so I have a little bit of, information about how you got started, but let our listeners know, tell us, because you didn't always play the guitar
from
a child up. It was something that kind of came to you later in life. So tell us about that.
Yeah, if you could have, I would never have thought that I'd be playing the guitar in front of people if you'd have asked me when I was about age 18 or whatnot. It would have been the furthest thing from my mind. But, yeah, when I was a kid, I did play the stand-up bass a little bit. So I had a little musical background, but that was from about sixth grade to ninth grade. Never really played the guitar at all. And then I tried to do well in school and got into medical school. And right before medical school started, I'd kind of been really interested in bluegrass for about throughout college, late high school and college. And to me, it was the most sincere form of music I'd ever heard, bluegrass was. But I didn't know what the blues were. I'd never really heard of that. And I started dating a woman late in college who was about 7 years older than me, maybe six. And she happened to be kind of the girlfriend of a guy named Clifford Antone, or she had been his girlfriend. And he started Antone's Blues Club here in Austin. It's this legendary club. And he was a big factor in bringing the blues up in its popularity through the 80s. He did a lot to get acts like the Fabulous Thunderbirds and Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, going. And not only that, but to give life to the old blues legends like Muddy Waters and all of the guys back in the late 70s and 80s. She kind of was always talking about blues this, blues that, and I was always talking bluegrass this, bluegrass that. But then when she finally left me one day, she did give me.
Oh, no.
Well, that's all right. She gave me she gave me the CD called The Sky Is Crying by Stevie Ray Vaughan. It's the one they put out, that Sony Records put out after he passed away about a year later. And I remember I was trying at the time to learn the banjo. I mean, just starting, I said, I got to learn to play something. Put that CD on. And what I heard from that, from Stevie Ray Vaughan, was the most honest and sincere form of expression through music that I thought was even humanly possible. And to this day, I don't think I've ever heard anything more sincere, even close to it, really. Or I can't say that, but to me, it's amazing beyond description. But when I heard that, I said, that's it. I got to learn how to play this. I just had to. And I never touched the banjo again. I don't have anything against the banjo, but I said, that's what I got to do. And I told my roommate, he'd been such a great, he'd been my best friend, and he was my roommate at the time, and I told him, I said, go home to your mom's and get the little acoustic guitar she's got in her attic. Bring it back. I got to learn how to do this. And so I was about 23, maybe. I don't mean to ramble on. Stop me if you need to.
No, you're good. Was that a yellow guitar or what was it?
No, that wasn't. That was just a little acoustic piece of wood and nylon string thing that I never could have really learned on all the way. Uh-huh. But it was good to get. I had to start somewhere. I remember I told them, I said, go get that thing. And then I went to my ex-uncle's house. He had a record of Texas Flood, Stevie's first big record. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, now I got the record. Now I'm going to learn. And I remember just saying, how in the world can anybody learn this? This guy's just, he's improvising. He's making it up, you know. And how does he know what to do? That was what I was just a big mystery to me. It's like, I don't know if anyone could ever learn how to do this. But I said, but I couldn't quit, really. I did have to quit a little bit, though, because I had to start medical school a few months after this. Mm-hmm. And medical school, it's like trying to drink water out of a fire hydrant. They just said, this is what you're going to do. You're all about learning this stuff, you know, 24/7 pretty much for a few years. But I was always listening. I was always listening to the music still. I didn't have time to really practice. But I was always listening. Mm-hmm. And then about 2 years into it, I said, I got to practice. I don't care. And so I got a little yellow electric guitar that I still have, and a little cheap pawn shop Fender Squire thing. It cost me about $110. And I didn't even have an amplifier, but I would sit by the bathtub and put that guitar on the edge of the bathtub, and it would resonate in the bathtub. That was kind of my amplifier. But I just got busy to trying to learn it, you know, step by step. And it was a process, you know, of just not, it really never occurred to me, maybe I should give up, because it was so in me. And I just couldn't, my brain was always thinking about the music and the songs and how the guitar was played. And finally, about a year after I graduated med school, I was, I remember I was sitting, I was doing my residency, and I was sitting on my couch at home one night, all alone, and all of a sudden it just kind of made some sense, and whatever I would hear in my head I could do with my fingers, and so it wasn't hard anymore, and I said I can play. It's like all of a sudden this big dam broke and I could play. So I was about 27 then, I think, and so somewhere around there. And you know, and once that happened, it was no longer work, it was just play, and it was something I would never stop.
Right.
Because after that, you know, if you can play, why wouldn't you play?
Right.
You know?
You're definitely gifted. Like you said, it just clicked. And when that moment, to me, I think when that moment happens, like you said, it was just in you and it was waiting to come out, because you, anybody that's listened to your music or you know, they've seen you play, you put the guitar behind your back, you play with your tongue. How did that come about? Did you just experimenting
you
one
know,
day, or
did
you see another musician doing it? Or
I mean,
what?
The tongue thing, well, I'll go over all of that, but, well, the behind the back thing, Stevie used to do that, and guys before, Jimi Hendrix used to do stuff like that. Actually, I don't know. I think Stevie might have been one of the first behind the back guys. I've heard other people did do it. I'm sure maybe somebody did, but I never saw anybody do it besides him. So that was something that was just straight from him. The tongue thing, you know, I spent my residency, my medical residency, 1 year was in Austin, and then 2 years were over in Houston. And I was actually living in the hospital. I didn't even have an apartment. They didn't know it. I was living in a little on-call room that no one ever used.
Right.
But so that they wouldn't know I was doing that, at night, in the evening, I would go sneak out into the city, and I'd go to these blues jams in Houston. And and then when the blues jams were over, I'd play, and then I'd sit in for other bands and whatnot, and then I would come back to the hospital just so jazzed about what had just happened, and then go to sleep and wake up. I'm right there at work, you know. I never was late because I just wake up right in the hospital. But anyway, but to me it was all about, I can't wait to go play at night. But there, I saw a guy in Houston. His name was Rick Lee. I saw him one time play with his tongue. And I said, well, that's a winner right there. I got to do that every show.
Of course you do.
it's not something you can practice, though. You just, I guess you could. I never sat at home practicing it, but it's weird. Over the years, doing it every show, you actually do end up with a lot of hours of tongue playing. And now I can it kind of progressed, like you can get more intricate with all the stuff you played with your tongue. And another little interesting thing is, for about 5 years, the first 5 years of doing it, my tongue would bleed a little bit when I would do it. And I'd get these little blood splatters on the guitar. But then I guess finally it takes about 5 years of doing that, and it toughens up, I guess, a little, but I don't bleed anymore. So that's interesting. I always thought that was fascinating. That 5 years takes that, playing with the tongue before you quit bleeding.
Just like the fingertips, you know, when you start playing, you know, you get those calluses, and you know, you just gotta get it. You just need practice.
Yeah, but those come within a few months. It's weird that the tongue thing takes that long. But anyway.
Well. As a doctor, maybe you know the physiology of that and why that happens. I don't know. Tell us how do you segue from, so you're playing, you're in residency. Obviously, you know, people hear you, they know you're amazing. How do you segue from, when's your first gig? Do you even remember that?
Yeah, I do. So with a guitar, I mean, when I was a little kid playing the stand-up bass, my bass teacher brought me up once to the Cactus Cafe in Austin to play stand-up bass in one of his gigs for a song. I don't really count that, though. But
yeah,
for guitar, it was about a year after that moment when I was on the couch and it all came to me, kind of like a big dam broke.
Right.
About a year later, I was in Austin again, and I knew a guy who I'd used to babysit him. He was about 6 years younger than me, and when he was about 10, I babysat him. But now he was in college. He was about 22. I was 28 or so, and I would go over to – he asked me to come over to his house to play a little bit, and then he had a drummer friend there, and then they had a – he said, hey, we have a show tonight. We have a party we're playing. Would you play with us? I said, yeah, absolutely. So that might be the first gig I ever had. But then – really, when I first decided to put a band together of my own, when I got back from Houston, when I was done with my residency and I moved back to Austin, I had a girlfriend in Houston at the time who was always saying, you need to get your own band. You need to, her name was Leslie, and she said, you need to get your own band. You need to start this musical thing, because she would go with me to all the blues jams that we'd go to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I got back to Austin, I met two guys at a blues jam, and we were up on stage and said, do y'all want to make a band? And one guy's named Alan Daniel, and the drummer's named John Brainerd, and they just looked at me and said, yeah, we'll play with you. So immediately I knew I had a band. It was just that easy. And I remember the first time we rented a room to rehearse at Music Lab, and that first rehearsal, we just met there one Saturday afternoon. I was so excited. It's like the hair was standing up on skin because we're about to play, you know. And
right.
I like to never forget about that excitement. We had there was no audience, no nothing. We had a band and we were going to play, and that alone, that should be enough to be excited about. So every time I'm playing now, and there's, you know, if there's happens to be an off night and it's a small crowd, rather than just say, oh, you know, get down about it, I think, hey, remember when I was in that rehearsal room before anything, and it was just exciting enough just to be plugged into an instrument with your friends playing. Well, I'm still doing that, you know, right now. And so that's something I hope I've always made a point never to lose that perspective about that.
Yeah, I love that too. There's a humbleness about that. Like you said, kind of, and to me, that's the true artistry of it. You know, you're excited to be playing, whether or not there's a crowd there or not. You're just kind of in your element. You're playing. You're happy. So I really love that personally. But
well,
I want to go ahead.
First,
I want to go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry. I was saying the first two years, you know, I was all those years I was wondering if I could ever play. I never thought I'd play in front of people. I just want to learn it, because there's something about it saying, learn this, learn this, learn this.
Mm-hmm.
Never did I think, oh, so then I'll play in front of people. That came later. It's just something I said, okay, I guess maybe I should. And then I discovered that playing in front of people, there's a big energy transfer between you and the people. Like, I remember when you came that night, I felt that you were really loving the music, and I could feel that. It made me play better. And so I sense that in people. And it makes you play better than you would just in your room by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's why I look forward to playing in front of people now, because I'm always surprised by what I do when I'm inspired like that. But when I first started out, I was just thinking, I'll just play by myself in my room and that'll be fine. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway. And I love the word, the energy, because like you said, initially you started out, it was just about the playing, something innate in you, you know, obviously that it was, wanting to come out, and you're just so as good as you are, but then you get that transfer of energy from the crowd, and it's just kind of lights up to a higher level. It's great. Yeah, I loved it. I was just so blown away. We had started at one end of 6th Street and got to the other end, and we said, hey, let's go into Darwin's. And when we left there, we were just like, oh, my gosh, this dude is amazing. He was so
I appreciate
fun.
It.
We have
Thank
to go
you.
Back. Absolutely. What I want to do right now is I want to give our listeners just a little bit of a play one of your songs. Actually, it's called Listen, and that's the name of your CD as well.
Our latest CD. So
yeah, the
song,
latest
can I say
CD.
Something about it?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. So this song, so usually I don't play, most of my stuff is not played with a slide, but I do know how to do slide, and I had recently been married to a girl from Mississippi. We were married for a while, and I spent a good bit of time in Mississippi, and I got to really studying Mississippi blues, which is, it's different than Texas blues. Texas blues, they kind of, it's real shuffles based, like dun 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 dun, that kind of deal. Mississippi's more of a just a stomp, just like boom 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 boom, and real simple, but is riff, just as it's just a beat that says you are going to stomp your foot, and you're gonna move something. And I wanted to write a song that was more along those lines, so I wrote this song, Listen. So hopefully,
when you listen to it, you'll
see what I'm talking about.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're going to go ahead, and right now, this is Trent Turner and the Moon Towers. This song is called Listen, from his most recent CD.
Thank you.
am I. I love that. I'm glad I don't have cameras here in my studio.
That's my son on the drums, by the way.
That's right.
That's my son.
Mhm. And your sister is in the band as well, right?
She is. She's been playing bass now in the band for about a year and a half. And he has been playing drums in it for about 3 years now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
She's not actually on that recording, but that recording is just me and my son. That's it. So I just wanted that thing to be real bare, but that's all that is.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And so now your son, does he have any kind of formal training, or he just kind of picked
it amazing.
Up like dad did?
Well, okay, so he, I guess when he was real little, being, eight maybe, he had a few piano lessons. But it was a long time before he ever thought guitar would be something he could do. A long time, I say. He really started tearing into it when he was about a freshman in high school. He's a senior in high school now.
Mm-hmm.
But he is an amazing guitar player now, and he's an incredible drummer. He can play the bass. He can play a little bit of saxophone, and he can play the piano. And he's got an incredible band of his own, him and his friends. It's called Vermillionaire, and they play every Thursday night down here in Austin at Darwin's Pub.
Okay. Awesome.
The interesting story, though, is back when he was, I guess it was 3 years ago exactly this week, because I remember it was during South by South three years ago, 2013, and I had to get rid of my drummer that I had been using. Sorry, you might hear a car behind me.
Okay.
But I had to get rid of my drummer that I was using beforehand, and I had a show 5 days later. And I remember asking myself, and he was sitting there, I go, who am I going to get to play drums? And he goes, Dad, I'll play drums for you. I go, you don't know how to play drums. He says, I'll know in 5 days. And absolutely did. He got on the dang drums, and he 5 days later, he was playing the gig. And he only made a couple of little things, mess ups, and then we had a gig the following night. And I remember halfway through thinking, I've not even noticed Cy, meaning if you don't notice your drummer, he's doing great. That's the thing.
Right.
That means they're just right on the money the whole time. And, so he picked it up in like 5 days or a week. I mean, it blew my mind. But kids do stuff like that, I guess. There's pick stuff up like that sometimes.
They do, and you have to be so proud of him because when I first, of course we showed up that night, saw you at Darwin's, and I had no idea it was your sister and your son, and then when I found that out, I was like, wow, it just makes you that much more interesting, because
my sister's a great fiddle player, but then I said, why don't you play the bass for me? So she got the bass and picked it up real fast too. It wasn't long before she was really doing pretty darn good. And so anyway, it's a real nice thing.
Yeah. No. We're going to take a break right now, just a short 30-second break to hear from our sponsor. And don't go away, anyone. Come on back, and we'll talk some more with Trent. We'll be right back.
This is Mel D, and on behalf of the Atlanta Life Radio team, we thank all of our faithful listeners. If this is your first time tuning in, we thank you. Please share us with a friend and come back. A special thank you to all of our financial sponsors, because without their support, this show would not be made possible. If you are interested in becoming a financial sponsor or would like to learn how to advertise with us, please send us an email complete with your contact information to info@atlantaliferadio.com. Again, send us an email complete with your contact information to info@atlantaliferadio.com. And a huge shout out to one of our biggest fans, Mr. Marion R. Davis, for being tonight's sponsor. And now we return back to our program. Christine?
Hey, Trent. Welcome back, everybody.
Yeah.
Trent, okay, so we were just talking about your son and your sister being involved in the band. Kind of makes me think about just on being, you know, so much younger, what kind of advice would you give to kids his age, or even kids, you know, in college or just, you know, graduating college and wanting to do what you do, and just, you know, from the business end, the perseverance end, the musical end of all of that?
Well, I guess first thing is only do it if you really love it, and then if you do love it, absolutely do it. And if you really love, if you love the music, that's the whole thing. You have to actually have some big draw towards some kind of music that in order, I would think you would. I guess there are people who have not liked music and have been in bands, and I don't know how they would do that really. But if you, it's one of those things where if you just love it enough, probably most things just kind of take care of themselves. But I would, my advice would be never lose track of why you started, which was the music. Don't get distracted by, you know, oh, I could have these secondary things come to me, whether it be, you know, a lot of, I don't know, material things or whatnot. It's the music. The whole time it should always be the music, the music, the music, the music. And if you ever get fatigued of the music, it's time to stop. That's never happened to me. But,
I can relate to that aspect of it, because I know just in my own personal journey in my life, I mean, I've always loved music. I don't play an instrument, but I grew up in a home where there was always music, all kinds of music, so much diversity, and I love it all. And, you know, just how this particular, you know, this the radio hosting show came to me was just a God thing, and I really just focused on the music. Everything is music, and it came to me, and it gets back to what you were talking about as far as energy, you know, that you put out and you create, and it'll come back to you. So absolutely, never lose. Just never lose.
Like we never take a break. We play 3 hour shows. And the last thing I want to do is take a break, you know, but I've had times when I've had to hire substitute players in about an hour and 50 minutes. And they're like, do we get a break? I'm like, why would you want a break? We're playing music. Who wants a break? See, my theory in life is I'd like a break from something that's work. But if something has the word play in it, like guitar player, or we're playing music, I don't want a break. This is one of my big times of the week that I get to play, not slave away at something else. I get to play. I don't need to take a break from that.
Yeah.
And
I was surprised that you all did play 3 hours, because we got there, you know, pretty much at the beginning of the night when I, you know, first met you, and you played the entire time. And
we used to, my son and my sister weren't in the band back in these days, but I used to play, some shows would be like 5 hours and I wouldn't take a break. I used to do that a lot on some of the shows in Houston. And and I remember thinking, oh, that was nothing, though. And I remember one time, I mean, I've done several, this has happened many times, where I play a three-hour show, then I travel to another place and play a three-hour show right after it, like 30 minutes in between. The only in-between time is just the traveling. And and that was, but at no time have I ever thought, oh, I need to take a break. It's been 5 or 6 hours. And at the end of that second three-hour show, if somebody says, keep playing, I'm like, okay. It's playing. I get to play.
Right.
I enjoy it so much.
You know, I hear what you're saying, because so many creative people like you that I do know, it's time, that element of time just doesn't really exist. Right?
Right.
Kind of.
It's amazing how fast the 3 hours go when you're playing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've had deals where, like, a outdoor show that would be 3 hours gets rained out at the last minute. And I'll watch those 3 hours go by, and I'm like, wow, I still would be playing right now? God, that's a long time. But while I'm doing it, feels like I don't want it to end, especially if it's going well. And I'll tell you what, you're asking when I first started playing my own shows, like having my own band playing my own shows, one of the first places I ever got a gig was up at a place about an hour north of here called Cutter's. And it was a place that had been opened up by Stevie Ray Vaughan's old road manager named Cutter Brandenburg. He passed away last year, but he had a little bar that he opened up near Temple, Texas. Mm-hmm. And he let us play, and we would play, I think it was like from 7 to 10 every Wednesday night. And then we had a show in Austin at, from 11 to 2 at, on 6th Street. And that's 1 hour between when we stop at, in Harker Heights, which is actually right next door to Killeen. We had 1 hour to get to load up, to stop playing, load all our stuff up, the drums and everything,
mm-hmm.
into one car and haul down to Austin and get it all set up and to start playing at 11 down at a club here on 6th. And we would do, and the place down on 6th back then paid us like $15. But I, in my mind, I was like, there's no way I'm going to miss that show, and there's no way I'm going to miss starting at 11 because I get a chance to play.
Right.
And nothing to do with, well, they're only going to pay me $15. It was, and you know, I know a lot of people who don't love the music would be like, I'm not going down there to do that, or they better
mm-hmm.
pay me more than that, you know.
Right.
Or, I just played a 3-hour show. I'm not going to do another one. But if you love the music, you're somebody starting out, and you just love
mm-hmm.
it, you'll
mm-hmm.
know it because you'll do stuff like that.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. I do that in my own life, and I know other people, you know, you do it for the love of it. It's like you said, it's not about the materialistic aspect of things. It's nothing more than this is what I do, this is who I am, and I'm going to do it. There's one person in the audience or there's 1,000 people in the audience. It really doesn't matter. You're going to give the same performance that you would give, you know, no matter what. So, yeah, that's cool stuff. I want to go ahead and talk about your CD, your latest CD, Listen. You've got a lot of songs on here, okay? And we're going to play another one in a few minutes called Burn It Down. Tell us how this CD came together and what type of, I know you were talking earlier about the different types of blues music. How would you describe this CD?
So I've had a few CDs. The hard thing to do is to not get carried away in the studio too much to where you start using gadgets and trickery that you wouldn't normally use in a show. Because if you start doing that, and that's okay if you do it, but just get ready for people to say, hey, this doesn't sound like you do on the stage. It sounds studioized or whatnot. And both of my other CDs before this one, although I love them, they did have a bit of that element to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I went into this thing thinking, you know, I want to strip it down to more just guitar, drums, bass, and vocals, and that's it. And
mm-hmm.
And we're not going to get gimmickry and gadgetry, and we're just going to record as true to we could of how it would be if we were just playing live. And so that's kind of this song. This CD is more. It doesn't have all the, you know, the sugary effects or whatever you'd call it. It doesn't have the sprinkles on it. It's just the,
mm-hmm.
it's just the main stuff. And, but you know, I like it a lot. It's my best guitar work I think I've done on a CD.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I like all the CDs, but this is just the latest one. And it does have more of the, different types of blues. Got like we just played the ones kind of a Mississippi style. This mm-hmm. next song, Burn It Down, although
mm-hmm.
it's kind of my son's drumming on this too. I think he does an incredible drumming performance on this, and
mm-hmm.
It comes off as kind of a hard almost rock song, but to me it's a blues song. But
yeah,
I think you'd probably say it's rock because I don't know, it ends up sounding that way, but.
It's good. It's definitely good. So let's go ahead. We're going to go ahead and listen to this next one, again, from Trent's and the Moon Tower CD, Listen. This one's called Burn It Down.
Gasoline, a lot of mess.
I love that. Burn it down. Wow. Okay, so tell me, man, that is so good. Like, I could see you playing that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, tell us about another, I just thought about another really good one that I like. It's called Billy Badass. Now, you wrote that. You write most of your songs now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And so Billy Badass is actually probably if you know, someone said, what's your best song you ever wrote? That's probably it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to get the most response from people in terms of them saying they like that song. But
mm-hmm.
it's a song, I wish I should have, I guess, sent you an MP3 of that. But it's on iTunes. If you go to iTunes and look up
mm-hmm.
Trent Turner or Trent Turner and the Moon Towers,
mm-hmm.
you'll find the whole CD called Billy Badass. But it's a song that I wrote about playing music week after week in Austin, Texas. It's a character I made up.
Mm-hmm.
to describe, kind of lyrically describes playing music in this town week after week.
Yeah, I love it. I think you actually did play it when I was there in February.
Oh, I try to play it every show.
So you're always at Darwin's on Saturday night. It's Darwin's Pub that's in Austin on 6th Street. And so do you have any other standing at any other night of the week where people can go see you play? Or
well, that's the only one we have that's a routine, that's like an every, I guess you'd call that an every night or every certain night at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
But we play
mm-hmm.
lots of other places here in town. You know, I've wanted to travel more with music. I've not done that in life, because I just wanted to be around my son while he's growing up and raise him.
Right.
So it has,
mm-hmm.
the road hasn't been something that's been an option for me, really, that I would entertain.
Mm-hmm.
But he's about to go to college.
Right.
He's about to go off. And so that's going to open this whole thing up for me to be able to do more of that, of traveling with the music.
Oh, wow.
So,
and that, you know, I think I did see somebody – I saw somebody on your Facebook page that was like, hey, I'm from New Zealand. Am I going to be able to listen to you or listen to the radio program? So you have a fan base, quite a fan base. I know that.
Well, that's good.
You know,
the more people you can play for, the better that the energy you get back in return, it makes you play better.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I think, playing in Austin, it's such a great town. It's such a good music town. You get people, you get tourists from all over. You know, you do get tourists from all over the world. So you've got people, you know, in there from wherever, New Zealand or, like I said, wherever. And they're going to go home and talk about you. And, you know, so, Yeah, absolutely. And I also wanted to talk about, is there any type of, I know you've done charity events and you've played, to raise money for different causes. Anything that's near and dear to your heart as far as giving back with your gifts and your music that you like to be involved in?
In terms of a routine, I'll play for any good cause,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I never charge for it. But any good cause, mm-hmm. I don't have one that's that's particularly stands out. But I've played several benefits of several types, and
right.
Yeah, anytime someone's got a charity benefit, I'll play it. I won't charge a cent.
Yeah, I think that it's so important because especially people. Musicians like you who are just so gifted, and you do inspire people. I mean, you probably get it all the time. People come up to you and they're just like, "Man, you blew us away." And I mean, how does that make you feel? Do you get tired of that? Are you probably very humble about it, right? I know you are.
Well, it was never to me. It's never been about like a contest of any kind. It's just been if I can share something that's inside me.
Mm-hmm.
with someone else, and the end result is everybody feels better. What a great
mm-hmm.
thing, you know. So
yeah.
that's the whole thing about live music, and so that's why I do it, you know, to be able to share. I'm a real introvert
mm-hmm.
in the rest of my life,
mm-hmm.
but I get
mm-hmm.
a little window where I get to go and actually express myself in front of people
mm-hmm.
or with people, I should say, and so. You know, it's a nice way to connect. If it weren't for music, I would not have very good connecting with because otherwise I'm the kind of guy, if I go to a party or something, I'm usually the first to leave just because
uh-huh.
I'm just too introverted. I don't know what to tell people and they just want to talk to me about nothing that's really from inside. I'm not
right.
good with small talk. But if you get me talking about music or if you get me playing music, it's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of, that's actually very common that I found, you know, with musicians
yeah.
or any kind of creative person. You see them creating these wonderful works of art or musicians are out there kind of, you know, rocking the stage. But actually, you know, when they go home, they're very quiet. They're very introverted. They're very deep within themselves and definitely you're definitely in that mold as well. I know that. But now when you say, okay, so you say you want to travel, you'd like to go on the road. Where would you like to go? I know you've thought about it.
Anywhere. But for some reason, I've been thinking a lot, I would like to go to London. And I don't know why I've been thinking that so much. But that's just the first thing that pops in my head recently. But I'll play. I would love to play anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The more places I could play, the better. That's really kind of, if I could wave a magic wand and just say, here's how life is going to be from now on, I'm the
mm-hmm.
magic wand fairy, and I wave it,
right.
and it would be, I get to play music all over the place. That would kind of be all I'd ask for me.
So, okay, so if anyone wanted, anybody's listening, or, you know, do you manage yourself, or do you have someone that manages you, or?
No, I manage myself.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. So they could obviously just go to your Facebook page or what is it, TrentTurnerMusic.com.
Yeah.
I have a website.
I do have a website. It's TrentTurnerMusic.com, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm extremely bad with tech. You know, I'm very low-tech. But I do mm-hmm. check in on TrentTurnerMusic.com. But if they're on Facebook, that kind of pops up on my phone more often. Just find Trent Turner in the Moon Towers, MOONTOWERS, on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the little Facebook URL, but
mm-hmm.
if you just search Trent Turner in the Moon Towers, it'll pop up to our page. And from there, if you like that, I'll friend, you know, do a friend, hey friend thing with you. And,
right.
And then I post, I usually post all the time where we're playing. We also have where we're playing posted on that website.
Right. Yeah. Actually, I think I did see something. Something's coming up. What, March the 16th? And
Yeah. Well, that's here in Austin. That'll
uh-huh.
be part of the whole South by Southwest stuff. But Wednesday, this coming Wednesday we play at the Lit Lounge in Austin from 7:30 to 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be fun. 3 hour show during South by Southwest, that'll be nice.
And again, that's with your sister and your son, or
they'll be in there too. Yeah. They'll be playing
awesome.
With me.
Yeah, because I definitely want to get down there again soon myself and see you guys play again. Oh, my gosh. I asked my daughter before I went on air tonight. I said, when was it we went down there? And she said, Mom, I think it was February the 3rd or the 6th. Because, I was taking her down to see R5, you know, the whole boy band thing. And just happened upon you. And that was just so cool. But,
R5.
Thank goodness for R5. Praise God.
I don't know who they are, but thank goodness for
it. I think you would. Let me tell you, Trent, if you had a daughter, you'd know who R5 was.
Maybe so.
Oh, my gosh. But one more thing I wanted to touch on before we kind of close out the show tonight is I did mention that, yeah, you mentioned your primary care physician during the day. Do your patients, most of them know what you do, or most of them don't know what you
no.
do tonight?
No, none of them know. Now, I will say when I was a resident and I lived in the hospital, sometimes I would take my guitar to some patient's rooms and play for them. That was a long while back. But nowadays, no, I don't bring it up while I'm treating people.
Well, and obviously, you know, it's in context, you know.
Yeah.
I think when I did my posting for the show tonight, I mentioned it somewhere in my verbiage of the post, and I saw a few people, they were like, a doctor, what the heck, or, you know, we never knew this. It was just very surprised, obviously, but because you would never know. I mean, obviously, you're a physician by day, and you're very professional, and then at night, you totally let it rip. So I want to encourage everybody, if you're listening, please tell everybody about Trent Turner and the Moon Towers. Please like him on Facebook and go to TrentTurnerMusic.com. You can find your music on YouTube. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube as well.
And yeah, there's a lot of stuff on that.
Yeah. Now, can they get the CD that I purchased that night? How can people get that?
Well, contact me through the website, TrentTurnerMusic.com, and I'll send you something. But I need to get that thing on iTunes this week is the deal, and I'll be doing that. That's my big project. My son was really getting on me today for being so low tech that I haven't done that yet. He said, I can't believe you haven't done that yet. And I was like, you know, he actually said, I guess it comes down to the fact that you just don't actually own a computer. And I said, well, that's part of it, yeah.
Oh my God! So you're just using your smartphone, right?
I just use my phone. Yeah, I don't need a computer in life. I have a guitar. So
I have one other person I know that's that way, and I'm like, you know, you just really need to get yourself a computer. Get with the times here. But you know, I'm sure that now you've been on tonight. You're gonna, you know, a lot of people are gonna be. You know, they're going to be interested, and I truly, truly, I want to thank you so much for, you know, spending your Thursday night, you know, with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. I feel so blessed that I happened into Darwin's that night, and I just want to encourage everybody to, you know, look you up, follow you. Trent, I see nothing but awesome things for you in your future. Like you said, you want to go to London. And you know, timing is everything. Like you said, I'm in the same situation. I have children. My youngest is going to be graduating high school next year. So I'm kind of in that pre-stage right now that you are, where, you know, now you can do the things that you want to do. And you don't feel that sense of responsibility to your kids so much. And so anyway, we're going to close out right now. I'm going to say thank you, and we'd love to have you back another time when we do a best of show kind of a thing. But in the meantime, take care, and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thanks much.
Okay. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. Trent is amazing, as you can hear and see. So please remember to go to TrentTurnerMusic.com, check him out, check out his Facebook page. He does have a Trent Turner in the Moon Towers Facebook page as well as his personal page, and I'm sure he'd be more than happy, like he said, to friend you on that as well. Again, you can see him every Saturday night at Darwin's Pub in Austin on 6th Street, and he is going to be playing at March the 16th at the Lit Lounge in Austin, and he does have a few of his songs on iTunes, but like he said, he's very low-tech, so may not be able to find too much. But tonight's songs were called Listen and Burn It Down, and they are from Trent and the Moon Tower's current CD called Listen. So before I close out, one more thing I want to remind everybody is to be an inspiration to people in your life. Look around you. There's so much to be inspired by. And then use that and give it back and inspire others. I do believe that's why we're here. It's part of the reason why I do this show, to inspire people, to encourage people to be everything they can be. So, again, thanks for tuning in. And remember to tune in next week at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Again, this is Christine in the Key of C, reminding you to live your life inspired. Thanks, and we'll see you next week.